Can we please have Mikhail to kick off the open mic? Thank you.
Oh, you're a lovely audience. Ayahuasca.
Musicality in Mikhail's poetry. Thank you very much, Mikhail. Can we have Grant March to the stage, please? And thank you.
Scratching through the soil. Plug your nails with dirt. Dig, dig, dig frantically deeper. Ignore the emotional hurt until you come across the rotted remains of the coffin lid of your memory. And now you've come this far, do you dare lift the lid? Huge rusted chains surround and envelop great padlocks with keys long thrown away by your own hand, bind the shackles together, keeping your mind closed. But you've long realized the power inside could set you free. Do you dare rip the cracked fraud steel? A decision needs to be made. Logic pervades the senses. The pros and cons line up on either side, making it a simple matter to decide. The balance, the scales are tilted. But your gut instinct demands otherwise, to ignore the masses and follow your heart. Do you reject and throw away all those feelings of déjà vu and the many fated coincidences that pervade your life? Have you betrayed the subconscious power that paints your truth? If so, you ignore the cosmic forces that bind the universe at your peril. Bottle up your ego, make yourself small, spread yourself along the mall. This is far easier than to be a voice true, true to you, to shout and sing and dance along the streets. They'll say you're mad, but do you care? So pick up the scalpel, cut deep inside. Do not be afraid of the you that hides. There's a power lurks within that science cannot begin to explain or dissect. Connect, connect, connect. Who are you?
Thank you very much, friend. So are we indeed a very pertinent question. Next up, can we have Sandra McShane?
Conspiracy theories. People often say, well, that's a little far-fetched. Can't conceive of anyone being so evil. False flag attacks, crisis actors, complicit news broadcasters, climbing up career ladders. Never mention if the Rothschild bankers, cause they're funding both sides. Pulling everyone's strings, pulling everyone's strings, and so unbelievable. So a pedophile ring. How do they bring it up in conversation? How do you bring up something so diabolical? Hey, what you doing next Saturday? You be up for a bit of raping and pillaging. They're funding both sides, pulling everyone's strings. Don't get to hear about it, because they own everything. Vigilante groups who think they're heroes beat down Muslim victims, too dumb to know their pawns in the circus, too dumb to know who's really out to get us, cause they're funding both sides. They're funding both sides, pulling everyone's strings. And you don't get to hear about it, because they own everything. Trotskyite machinations, watch out for control oppositions. Entryism, one-minute swing, just like hydraulic fracking, cause they're funding both sides. They're funding both sides, pulling everyone's strings. And you don't get to hear about it, because they own everything. Thank you.
Please just remember that you're not paranoid if they're actually following you. Next up, can we have Rosalind Blue?
In this room has heard the breaking of the moon before? The breaking of the moon. Waves breaking on the shore. Windbreakers shielding the meek fire in the stone hearth. Roof rocks sheltering the embers built beside the shepherd tent. Clouds breaking the blue. Black and heavy piles of water droplets in the sky, driving curtains of rain across the sea into the land. The bay aswirl with spells, a flashing, spitting, smiling, sun breaking through the clouds, the flames soaring, flaring in the wild breeze round the fire. Bubbles breaking the surface of the water, kettle hums, the soup begins to simmer despite the gusts of rain. A magic meal for tired campers. Breaking the gathered timber to keep the fire glowing until the fall of dusk, while the moon is rising east into the gloam of evening. At night the bay lies awake, alive the waves, the winds breaking on the quays. Clouds heave in bulky heaps across the starlit sphere above. The coarse grains of sand crunching under deep steps along the waterline lapping. As the moon breaks clear from the looming clouds, its glistening light dancing on the waves, setting the water alight, steeping the bay in silver, waxing over the week, full now in the night, bright as morning. The breaking of the moon is the breaking of the waves, is the heaving of the sea, is the breathing of the floods in the current of our blood. And the new dawn breaking, the fire still glows in the earth, while the moon on its westward way slowly pales into morning on the last day over Alahis Bay.
Thank you, Robin. I have no wisdom remarks, that was just lovely. Thank you very much. Next up, can we please have Charles Clark?
One is a translation by Professor Carney, James Carney, from the Old Irish, the Colloquy of Ancient Men. Agulab Mishnamor, I can see from him. Queen of Speech to Podrick, well loved of the Vaughan, lovely your pure tipped watercress, since your verdure has become neglected, no growth has been allowed in your brookline. Your trout out by your banks, the wild swine in the wilderness, fine for hunting the deer of your crags, your dappled red-bellied fawns, your mast on the tip of your trees, your fish in the mouth of your streams, lovely the colour of your arum lily, green brook in the wooded hollow. The poem, with its reference to fish and game, reminds Patrick of food. And the second is my own little effort. We once lived near or next door to a pork butcher, a long time ago, and I have changed a name or two, but essentially this is quite accurate. Johnny Moore. He lifted a squealing pig on his shoulders and walked down the shared laneway from the street with a steady rolling step on into the backyard of the shed. Johnny Moore, our neighbor. Our dining room upstairs gave a view. You heard the humane killer, then the squealing stopped. We bought pork fillet, black puddings, sausages from next door, but never offer, and never, never bologna. Bologna.
Thank you, Charles. Always a pleasure to listen to your timbre tone. Next up, please, can we have Patricia Walsh?
The time that was promised. called Burnford Blues, and just in case you're wondering what Burnford is or was, it was the parish where I grew up in North Cork. So as you can tell, the poem wasn't easy. Burnford Blues. His laughing and annoying stare, a poison prophecy turns on itself. A boastful accuser trundles along. A timer reading home speaks little. I am the sum of my parts, a stock character asking for derision, a written embarrassment being a comedian, a sensitive sword announcing the dead. Nothing intended but a blow to the soul, holding illicit hair in hands a source of fun. A cigarette worth smoking, the further the better, for my association a terror at home. Some amnesty becomes me, mimicking stories, causing a hop, it's validation. My whole life is a cause for ridicule, a film badly written that I have to introduce. A film, member of the wedding, come lately, lining up in the church to develop insecurities, eschewing a sermon or vicissitudes of life, some fashion of a lifestyle calls the shots. Chanting psycho, psycho, like a tennis martyr's, psychoed information somehow rings true. A biography unwritten, an obituary stalled, laughing at ineptitudes otherwise ignored. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Right, next up we have another P, Patrick Cotter.
Piper. The boy playing the flute carries the rat in a sack slung on his shoulder, like a Hessian womb bubbling with life, slowed in its seething by his lulling tune. His tooting notes echo through the valley. His sandals percuss the cinder path, winding over the mountains green like a spooling wound. Spent petals litter the way like deranged, luminous butterflies. He heads for home to the man who pays for each rat as long as it breathes, and to his puppy lying face between paws but still tail as it waits. It will be dark when he gets there. The goats will be as quiet as sheep in their enclosures, while the gruff shepherd dogs bark at his return. Its lips will be sore from playing, and even the rats too shall be tired, with empty stomachs rumbling loud like their purring snores.
Wonderful stuff. And if you guys want to be in Southward, is it still open tomorrow or is it closed? So yeah, Southward is still open, but tomorrow is the deadline, and that's Patrick Carter, the Most Literary Center, run that. So do try and get some poems and stories in there. It's quite wonderful. So next up we have Cedric, please, to the stage. Thank you very much.
Within a deep forest. She lost her habits mid-flake journey. Before she knew it, she was obliviously drawing a map of the unknown, turning the unplanned into a habit. The last one, maybe, for sure, the beacon of her civilization. How could she let go of those tokens of herself so easily? Her haste led to a heist. She exposed them and someone took them, replaced them with a terrible copy of his own. The trick worked for some time, like a sleight of hand. It was wonderful, she was in awe. What she didn't realize was that his true aim was locked inside her chest. He strolled in her darkness without worry, for her demons were entertained by the gimmicks he had planted. The theft would have succeeded if not for the last beast eyes. Those that cannot be deceived, since they shine their own light. Jealousy, paranoia, instincts, fear, in fact, offered a flicker of the truth. And unexpectedly, the cheat was caught, tossed away. The illusion shattered along with the artifact of her true oneness. She was lucky, for many were stolen. She would give hers, a heart with a thief fingerprint and the need for renewed identity.
Very nice, Cedric, very nice. And that poem indeed has your fingerprints all over it. Right, so next up we have Max Creighton. Please, and thank you. Can you do a little song for us there? Nice. Let's take a wind up.
I'm
going to
chicken out by the shop. All right,
which of you want?
Yeah, okay. I'll just do this. It's like an auto-tune. Oh, it's going to that's why I don't play music. Perhaps we tuned on says well because I'm sure. Okay, I'll just do this quickly.
Michael,
what is it?
Tuning.
I know, I knew it. And you wouldn't mind, but I sang it because Michael was here to see his teacher. And it's the poem I wrote the other week, and it's kind of been better to music. A sky gazer can watch for waves up there. One listened and found the earth's ambient sound. Push its atmosphere, a Persian true here, saying, let there be me, like him rushing to the ground. I came at its own speed, spinning its light beams, illuminating all without the music it seems. The quiet planets in faint channels down, behind walls of background sound, playing chant just low. We need a new palette to color each tone, so an art was formed in the language of signs and curves. The bass beat will build for the nations to rock, while percussive beats bring rhythms on top. Bird vertical, serendipitous rainbows to greet you. He's in the box, the sound creator seeks you. So give the earth then eyes to heaven, ears to the ground. Now sing for paper, now sing for paper. That's it.
For you anyway. Thank you, Max. Thank you so much. That was a bit of music inside over there. Right, next up we have Jack. Jack, come on up. Woo!
Hey, everybody. Can everybody hear me yet?
Yeah.
Sure. This piece is based on a website. This piece is based on a website called Library of Babel, which apparently has every combination of word and letter that could possibly exist. So this is called Library of Stone. Let me tell you of the Library of Babel, part discovery, part invention. It was its own best-selling book, oldest tome, most prolific author. This library wrote itself and everything else that could ever exist, mashing our language into every possible variation. In an instant, it did this. an instant to drain creativity dry forever. This very piece that I write, the library wrote, to explain itself to you, is made me proxy to its creations. Every other poet has suffered this fate. But that's not the scariest thing, no. For your past and every event that defined you is in there. Worst of all, your futures are in there too. Every path that you could take has already been mapped. Your death has been catalogued. The library transcended all as it was born, for it is destiny. And every book, every page of this library is made of stone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Stone book, that would be hard to read. Okay, coming up towards the end, guys, there's a couple more left. It would be hard to read. Coming up towards the end, we have Kieran McCarthy. Thank you very much.
Master of the cold. Well-chosen steps, based on understanding, performed with precision and clear vision, do not warm the body any more than blind stumbling when navigating a cold and treacherous valley. Days of decisions, moments of movement, stepping lightly, trying and continuing to try, aches the brain just the same as the rain wets the body. The brain is heavy cargo when the body is pulled right and left by its path. This cargo is not lightened by understanding. A still cage is easier carried than one rattled by thought. The safety of a foot on firm ground brings no comfort to a body that recognizes the treachery of the terrain that it has yet to face. Fear is an overriding emotion. Learning how to survive in the cold is an unwanted education to a body that has known warmth. It has no value where it has no place. It has no value where it is not embraced. The cold may become more familiar, but it gets no warmer. Endurance is a trait happiness is never tested. And through the lingering cold, experience is just another weight to carry. And your unwanted education enables you to endure a journey that you wish never to go on until sadness hangs on your skin like a tiredness that sleep can't cure. Your continued survival reassures you that you will continue to survive, that you will graduate with honors these lessons of despair. This uncharted journey's end, you will get there. Yes, you will get there. But get there and go where? You, the new master of the cold, and numb to the sensation of heat. Thank you.
Kieran's the kind of guy that when you meet him out and about, he's actually pure sound. Then he gets up in the mic and strikes terror into your heart. But that's okay, because terror comes from the same word as terrific. So thank you, Kieran, for that. It was quite terrific. Next up, we have Rab Uckert, if you'd like to grace us.
Gosh, I thought I was going to get knocked off the open mic for 3 weeks in a row, but it didn't happen. Yes, I'm looking at you, Michel Delay. An old anarchist poem. You slavers with your money, your establishment and all. Your stocks and shares are invisible, and so are all your laws. You've bully boys in blue suits and armies stocked with fools to keep in line the common folk that break your stupid rules. You've leaders full of cancer, height, and valium and speed. And when the hawks around them squawk like fools, you all take heed. And still you fight the same fight that your fathers fought for years. Why will you not accept a truce and save us all the tears? Because I see it with my own eyes, your institutions crumble. Flocks of whining civil servants, their plastic worlds a-tremble. And when Wall Street windows open and recession's clouds appear, while people starve, use capitalists. You'll walk the streets in fear. So be sure to heed my warning now, or when the day of judgment comes, you might find yourself up against the wall, facing your own guns.
Nice one, Rad. I was actually facing Rad's guns there last week. We're in a bit of a play together. Should be interesting to developments to follow. I'll tell you more when we're ready, but there are guns involved and I am terrified. Alright, so to finish off the night with our open mic, before I do some last platitudes, we have Rhea. Before she comes up, I'd like to say the universe has provided this moment. You can do no less than to speak. Come on up.
Come on, Rhea.
I've been writing for about 10 years, and I've always destroyed everything as soon as I've written it. But I have some very beautiful friends who are very gifted poets, and they've convinced me to stop doing that. So here I am. Hi, Michelle. Thank you. I want to bite the world. I want to chew it up. I want to spit it out. I don't want that insidiousness. I don't want it inside my mouth. My only hope is the last few drops of nature in the soil can balance and neutralize the turmoil, virus, and effects of humanity. Pulling invisible lines around our land and homes, I need an invisible scissors as big as a fear to cut us free. Wouldn't be any trees on my way so I could see, because we rob and rape nature like psychopathy. If trees gave Wi-Fi, we'd only give a fuck if it was free. Fuck the oxygen we need to breathe. Paper's more important to buy stuff they've seen on their Insta feed. Infinite knowledge condensed into the chip, vibrating out to the LCD screen in my hand, capable of accessing answers they've been philosophizing since Rome, but mostly we look at it to look at videos of cats and check up on our ex and see if they've got fucking fat. 10 ways to braid your hair. Girl, don't worry about that. If Fukushima keeps radiation, keeps spilling through the air, that hair won't even fucking be there. Finding out who's puppeting the strings, what's in the soil, in our food from which it's grown, that we eat, how many ways they poison our water. Water, that's the next fight. Drink up your fluoride. Close your eyes, sit tight, keep strolling through the iPhone. Wait for the day that thirst makes you fight. My fellow man, they know that this is imminent, but they're too busy watching TV shows about processed people and complaining about immigrants to see it's you and me. That this, we're all humans, you see. Yet they keep themselves plugged into the realm of Kardashian, even the way that word feels on my tongue. I want to take it off, bleach it, and scrub it till every trace is gone. Jesus, Allah, and the rest of the crew, they're drinking vodka, sitting next to Thor in Valhalla, looking down upon us, thinking, how the fuck did they get it so wrong? How has this hate gotten so strong? All we did was show them different ways to love and peace, and yet, as I said, this hate has gone the wrong way. Put down the guns made from Bibles for just 1 second. Take a break from arguing whose imaginary friend is more fucking great. And look to the skies and see the abundance we have, but we don't take. They won't even see it, not for a second, not until it's fucking late. Stop fighting just for a moment and rest the mind. Loosen the fear that's nestled in the middle of your chest and realize that we are brothers and sisters with gifts to be blessed upon us. And if you can't stop that anger festering inside you, it's going to seep out into your brethren. They're going to breathe it in each day. Try and pray for consciousness and purity to stay. peace. If not, then pull back out that hand grenade and blow your fucking former self away. That date we make to eradicate our race draws closer and closer with our ignorance. We pull it closer, breathe it in and out with one exhale. Mother Earth is wounded. She got stabbed with money and greed. With quick pace but brought to her knees. She can't believe the fruits of her womb would betray her in this way. Ignorance, they say, is bliss, but at the cost of this existence? But Mother Earth won't leave. It's us she will eradicate, because nature was here first and humans forget that it was this fucking way. While we toil, destroy, party, and just think about economic state, environments are changing, people. The Earth's prepping for our new fate. Tsunamis represent her bloodshed. Climate change is her migraine, so intense the fucking glows red. The earthquakes recognized by all it's broken, but don't worry, we'll try to stuff them full of Chinese Israel. We need to take some inspiration from the indigenous people, whose only vision in life is to honor and keep the earth beautiful, peacefully prospering while we keep ravaging, and we have the nerve to call them savages? Every step that I take across this planet, burdened by our weight, reverberates the hate that we've swarmed into this place. Sometimes it's so strong, I want to pull my parachute and get gone before I break, just like the skin I used to take the knife to, just to spill over this weight that I can't take. One day I put my bloody hands up in the air and said, universe, okay, I'm waiting for you, come get me, I'm holding my number. My self-destruction was my own self-hate. I couldn't see any more light. I couldn't do any more in this community I tried in. My vision was blurry from the poison I dipped my life in. And that's when the keeper of the earth said, put your face, body, soul into this golden light I hold and guide it through your pores. Allow it to cleanse your bones. Not a bully nor a victim be. And at last understand that you are not a product of your past. I close my eyes and let the sun rise into my mouth, accessing dimensions no substance can hope to achieve. Right from my core, awakened the power of positivity in me. But it's not fluffy shit from dreams, but real sacredness, the divinity residing within me, within you, us all. Look inside and see the answers to our questions we've been asking so we can be free. It's love, peace, compassion, common sense and knowledge. These are powers, not Facebook likes, not product, not wealth, not oil. Turn the mirror upon yourself and look at your own life with no ego. Fix what doesn't right and fuck the rest out the energetic window. Let the universe soothe you so you can start to do good. Take care of the earth, then yourself, and leave something beautiful for your neighborhood. Plant happiness and health in your heart and mind. Lay your hands in the earth and know that there is still time to protect and nourish this earth, and from that you can guarantee your grandchildren will be able to eat fruit from trees that still have leaves. Some people call this salvation I have gained meditation, but me, I call it a rise from waste to grace. The only thing stopping you is the time that it takes for you to close your eyes and wake up.
So that's poetry. Everything we witnessed here tonight was poetry. And sometimes I take events like this for granted. Sometimes I think they'll always be here and they always have been here, but there is only ever this moment. And I want to thank Rhea, and I want to thank everybody who's given themselves up tonight and shown a little bit of themselves, because for me, poetry is like butter. It's almost too good to be true, but I would grow fat on the butter of your poetry. Thank you again to our guest, Connie. You are absolutely wonderful. Thank you to you guys.